Hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's Just for Variety. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. Today, for the very first time, I will be joined by a guest co-host. Please help me welcome Adam Biveri, Variety Senior Entertainment Writer. So why Adam this week? Because the man knows anything and everything there is to know about Marvel and superheroes. And I thought it would be great to have him on the show today because we're going to be talking to the Falcon and the Winter Soldier star, Sebastian Stan. Hi, Adam.
Hi, Mark. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, thank you for finding the time to be on. I couldn't think about doing this interview without you. I know you've been following the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, you know, the ins, the outs, from the start to the finish, to the beginning, to the middle. You just know, you really do know everything about Marvel and superheroes, don't you?
Well, I mean, I don't think any one person could know everything about Marvel and superheroes, but I certainly try.
Where did this fandom come from for you?
Well, I mean, this gets into the whole DC versus Marvel split. Mm-hmm. I think I was a big fan of Superman first. When I was a little kid, I would wear a Superman cape everywhere and threw a huge fit when I had to take it off. And when I turned 16, I finally put it away. No, just kidding. But you know, I think that was my sort of gateway drug. And then, you know, I think part of it is that one of the things that is inescapable about Marvel Studios is how dominant a force they are within entertainment in general and how transformative. They've approached storytelling on a feature film scale in a way that nobody has ever even attempted before. And they've been wildly successful doing it. And The Falcon and the Winter Soldier is a sort of great example of a kind of show that couldn't really exist prior to the MCU, because Sebastian Stan, who we'll be talking to, he was playing this role in 2011 in the first Captain America movie. So he's been with this part for 10 years. And I think you can't really, there's no comp there. You can't really, there's no corollary. I guess maybe James Bond, like, you know, the James Bond movies kind of are the closest you could get to that kind of longevity, you know, in a single role that starts in film. But just as a film lover on top of a superhero lover, what Marvel's been doing is just so interesting and impactful. It's just had such a major imprint on the way that the industry operates.
So is Superman still your favorite superhero?
Oh God. No, I think that's become, I think it's partly because what Christopher Reeve was able to do with Superman is sort of unique unto itself, and every other iteration of Superman has on the big screen has left me wanting in one way or another. I think that's a really good question. I think my favorite superhero movie of the last 15, 20 years is the first Wonder Woman movie. I think that's really fantastic. But my favorite MCU movie is The Falcon is Captain America: The Winter Soldier, which came out in 2014, where what happens to Bucky's character, you know, he becomes this sort of assassin who is used by the evil Hydra organization, and he's brainwashed and put into cold storage when they don't need him. So the way that movie sort of explores the relationship between Bucky Barnes and Steve Rogers and the deep sort of bond of brotherhood and friendship that they have, the really sort of emotional bond, is something that has really, really sustained the MCU in a lot of ways and has made a lot of fans really interested in Bucky as a character.
Did you ever think, I mean, when you first became a fan or even now, the abundance of MCU content that was, I mean, Disney Plus, it seems like every other day we're hearing about another Marvel show that's coming.
Yeah.
It was just the movies.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think, you know, when the first Avengers movie premiered like four movies had had happened before that. Let's see, Iron Man, Iron Man 2, The Incredible Hulk. No, five. Five MCU movies had premiered before The Avengers. And when Avengers Endgame premiered, it was the 22nd Marvel movie. And now there are at least 29 titles on film and in television from that are going to premiere in this year and through the and then through the rest of the 2020s that Marvel's announced.
Right.
There are other titles that we're expecting them to announce that they haven't, that we haven't heard word on yet, and then titles that we don't even know about. So just the giant explosion in content that they've made is it's unprecedented, and no, I would never have guessed that it would get this big.
I mean, even listen, I'm a fan. I'm not a fan to the extent that you are, and I don't have the knowledge that you are. But you know, something like WandaVision, it was so fresh and it was so it was so new, and it was such a, you know, Marvel really does outdo themselves for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that has, I think, sustained Marvel most often is that they try not to remain stagnant. They try to make each one of their movies and now TV shows feel different in some way. Mm. So, you know, like, for example, the first Captain America movie was a sort of like a period war movie, a World War II war movie. And the second Captain America movie was like a 1970s conspiracy thriller, but really sort of just a kind of contemporary... a very contemporary sort of like urban warfare thriller. And and then WandaVision is this sort of like bizarre, almost David Lynchian at times, sort of look at the way that TV operates and like how we use TV as comfort to get over grief. And, you know, unlike anything we'd ever seen before. And then The Falcon and the Winter Soldier does sort of harken back a little bit to that kind of the feeling of the Winter Soldier movie, which is that sort of like urban warfare kind of thing, but on a global scale. You know, it hops over the entire world and introduces new parts of the MCU universe to the larger MCU. And so they really try to bring something new every time.
Well, we're going to take a short break right now, but when we come back, Sebastian Stan talks The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, questions about Bucky's sexuality, and of course, Stan's upcoming portrayal of Tommy Lee in the Hulu miniseries about the Rockers' marriage to Pamela Anderson following the release of their infamous sex tape. But first, let's go inside the pages of this week's Variety. In this week's Our Town, we tell you about Obey, a fitness app created by former CAA agents Mark Mullett and Ashley Mills. To gear up for the release of Disney's Cruella, Obey will be hosting classes inspired by the iconic movie villain over Memorial Day weekend. Sculpted dance cardio instructor Peter Tucci will be dressed as Ms. DeVille in a wig supplied by Disney. Other classes will lead participants through 101 burpees, push-ups, and more as a nod to the 1961 animated film's famous Dalmatians. Read more about Obey in this week's Variety or online at Variety.com. Now, here's the Falcon and the Winter Soldier star, Sebastian Stan.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, Sebastian. Thank you for joining us on Just for Variety.
No worries. Thank you for having me. Yeah.
Of course. I have a special guest host today, Adam B. Barry.
Hi, Sebastian.
Anything and everything there is to know about Marvel. So I wanted him to be here with you.
Okay.
But what I really want to know is, do you remember the day that you got the call? And they said they want you to play Bucky.
Yeah. Well, I was actually in LA, and it was April 1st, and I got a It was April Fool's Day, and I remember I was on set working on something, and then this unknown number called me, and so I was like, okay, I'm not picking. I don't usually pick up unknown numbers. And I kept shooting, and then an hour or two later, I finally looked at my voicemail, and I saw there was a voicemail there from. And so I was like, okay. And so then I clicked on it, and it was Kevin, and he was like, hey, Sebastian, we were trying to reach you. Just want to let you know, we'd love you know, we'd love to do this with you. We'd love for you to play James Bucky Barnes. And anyway, give me a call back. Like, very casual about it all. And I was, you know, it was a really crazy day. It was a really, really crazy day. But it's one of those days where sometimes, like, it's like, there's nothing better when you're on set working already on a job, and then you know that you have something else coming up. And in those days, I really never knew what was going to happen next. And so it was a really nice call.
You've played that part now for 10 years off and on. And one of the things that was so wonderful about the finale of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier was we got to see Bucky happy and sort of lighthearted. It was as if a sort of weight had been lifted a little bit from him. You know, you've been playing this character who was carrying so much baggage because of all of the damage he had done as the Winter Soldier. I'm wondering, what was that like for you to have, like, you know, it's sort of this big celebration moment and you get to sort of cut loose in a way that Bucky really hadn't had a chance to before?
Yeah, no, I loved it. I mean, I knew going into it, you know, that it was going to be a show that was going to really double down on the relationship with Anthony and the dynamic that we sort of started to establish. And so I knew there were going to have to be comedic moments and lighter moments and a different sort of path for this character than we've seen so far. And I just wanted to get there in an organic way that felt earned. You know, it wasn't to me a journey that we could just immediately overnight just get him to be all free and open and cracking jokes and making, you know, it was sort of like, what was his tone was a big question for the series. And I think we discovered that while we were shooting, primarily because there was a lot of material there for us now finally to sort of take and run away and make it our own. And then I think Anthony and I coming in with our backgrounds from the movies and having played the characters could merge our experience with sort of the new ideas about the characters. And then what evolved is what you saw. You know, it's like suddenly the humor about Bucky came out of this, you know, like he's like an old guy trapped in a world that's moving very fast. And he's just trying to kind of, and that was the humor there, you know, kind of this, and with Anthony too, they just really were an odd couple. You know, it was like Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon. I mean, like, that's what we dealt, you know, but it was nice to get him to that place for sure. And exciting, you know, in terms of where it's all gone.
When you did first sign on to the role, was the contract for a decade? Does it say like you're going to be with us for at least 10 years?
No, I mean, nobody, when I signed on for the role, first of all, 2010, all that had happened essentially was Iron Man, I think, and maybe one other movie. I don't know even if Thor had happened. But anyway, Marvel was very new and young, if you will, if you, you know, you could say. I mean, so everybody was in this place, which I think to some extent still is the same place today, which is a place of excitement, desire, kind of hope for continuation, possibilities, what ifs, but never kind of jumping the gun too soon, you know? And so like, I was always, which I think there's a, which is what I love about working there, I think, with Kevin and everybody, is that there's a real humble nature to the whole thing. It's like, hey, what do you think? Like, what if we did this? So we could do that. Maybe we could do this. But again, we have to see, right? Like, let's hope we're lucky enough. And they still say that, like, after 10 years, you know, I go, you know, you've been pretty lucky, right? Like, but they're still sort of like, if we're lucky. And so we've all kind of adopted this thing. Yeah, if we're lucky, then maybe we'll get to do another thing, you know? And I've sort of kind of come around to that. But at the time, nobody was saying, like, by the way, for the next 10 years of your life, you're going to just be doing that. Like, nobody was saying that. It was just sort of like, hey, this is an interesting character that's going, that's the path. And wouldn't it be great if maybe we get to do that? But anyway, we got to start here. So it's day at a time.
That makes a lot of sense. How have you been? You started your relationship. Bucky started his relationship with Sam Wilson, played by Anthony Mackie, in, I mean, they tussled a little bit in Captain America: The Winter Soldier, but they really their sort of rapport developed in Captain America: Civil War. I mean, everyone sort of cites that scene where Bucky wants Sam to put his seat up, and Sam says nope. And that was sort of like that was the seed of what has become this show. How did you develop that rapport with Anthony? How did you sort of work that out?
It was honestly, I couldn't even tell you. It was totally spontaneous. We met, I think we met a little bit before. We probably had met at some kind of premiere or something, even before the. We definitely interacted in Winter Soldier, and obviously in Civil War, we interacted more. But we just, I don't know, we just clicked. Like, we just sort of clicked and kind of spent time together. And then we had done the press tour for the Winter Soldier movie, spent a lot of time together. And so it just kind of evolved. I mean, that scene was written as is, and we got in the car and we said the lines as they were written on the page. And then I guess the rest is what came out of
Just sort
out
of
of his take on it and my take on it.
just that sort of one of those great kind of alchemic chemistry moments between actors where you just kind of click.
Yeah, well, I think, it's funny, like we're very different. we're very different, I think, as people in a lot of ways. Like, but like we want the same things, and we actually have a lot, we approach things the same way and we care the same, and there's a lot of passion and kind of like desire that goes into the ideas and into connecting and into kind of, but we are odd in a lot of ways. And so like I think it's just that there's a natural combustion that comes from that, because and I play into it and he plays into it, and we have a lot of fun. Like, I mean, there are many times where he and I will look at each other and just say, like, what if like you and I just did this and just didn't say anything about it, and just like how would people react? Like there, now we've sort of become aware of it, as whereas before, I think when we were first starting out, I guess when we were still getting to know each other really well, we were kind of like, I remember like being on that press tour with him and going, oh my God, like I gotta hang on. I'm on a roller coaster with this fucking lunatic. Like I'm like, Jesus. I got to keep up, and then I got better at it, and I was like, okay, like we're gonna have fun, and this is how it's gonna be. And he did. He broke me out of my shell in a lot of ways, made me a lot more comfortable in I guess taking things not so seriously all the time,
Well, I think a lot of audiences picked up on that chemistry that you had with Anthony, and the chemistry that you had with Chris Evans as Steve Rogers.
totally.
I would be remiss if I didn't ask, because so many fans are so invested in Bucky's relationship with Steve and in Bucky's relationship with Sam now, that there's some that very vocally want that relationship to be romantic. They want them to be a couple. And I'm
Right.
wondering, like, when you see that kind of reaction, how do you feel about it? Is that something that you're intentionally playing, or is that something like where do you think that's coming from?
I wouldn't know. Honestly, I'm just happy that the relationship is embraced, and it should be embraced in whatever way, fashion, and any way that people desire and want it to be. That's what I love about movies and TV shows and the theater and this form of expression, right? Is that you can have, someone can see the same movie or the same thing as you and have an entirely different experience and find something within themselves that's true and honest and relatable. I think you know, my goal has always been to do to, you know, with this role, with that relationship, with anything I've approached, to just try and find, be as honest as I possibly can. And then the rest is not up to me. You know, that's not the, you know, I don't strive to put some, you know, mark on that, because it isn't my mark. I'm just the actor. I'm not the writer, you know, I'm not, and I'm certainly not the creator here. You know, I'm sort of the messenger, if you will. So if there are intentions or not, or whatever, I would be asking the writers, to be honest. But I, you know, I've always approached that relationship as being very close and one of family. You know, that was my take to it, you know. And those characters are very interlinked, because they are the only thing they have to remind them of a past that no longer exists. I mean, again, my approach to those scenes was always to find the truth to it. And the truth was that these guys are actually experiencing something extremely traumatic. If you're actually looking at the truth of their experience and you're taking away all the glitter and the glamour of a superhero, superpower, whatever you want to call it, you're talking about two people that are like entirely ripped from a world, thrown into another, and are just doing their best to make the right decisions. And all they have is each other, to look to each other. And that journey is what it is, you know, but is it love? For sure it's love. However you want to define that love is up to you, you know?
Mm-hmm. So it makes sense.
So I guess I can't ask you, is Bucky bisexual? Because that was the big question that everyone kept asking.
Well, I don't know, you should be asking the fans, and you know, everyone's got different interpretations. Let them have it.
Were you surprised that the interpretation came down to like, okay, this is probably something romantic rather than just a platonic? And when I say just a platonic friendship, I understand it's a deep relationship, but taking it to a romantic level takes it to a different definition. Were you surprised by that reaction?
I mean, yes and no. I don't spend time, like when the job is over, like I'm out, like it's no longer, I don't care how you view it. Like it's yours. It belongs to you now, you know? And so like, I don't actually spend time like thinking like, you know, how is it going to be taken or whatever? Cause I have no control over that. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I don't even talking about it feels like kind of cheap, you know, like why talk about it? Like, why even just let it be what it is, you know, and let it be all these things. Cause then it's like, well, you see, it's not, and it's like, no, man, like when you go to a museum and you look at a painting, I mean, thank God, you know, it's like, you don't have these painters anymore to sit there and tell you when I was using the red color in the rainbow, in the sun, I was thinking this. And when I was doing, it's like, first of all, we need to stop. Like, in my opinion, like it's gotten, you know, we're analyzing things, you know, sometimes like art wise, like I think, or again, I'm looking at like me looking at a painting. Like I'm not even, do I dare even call this art, whatever, you know, like, it's like the magic of it to me is that it can be anything you want it to be. So I feel like let's let it live as it will and how you want it. You know what I mean?
That makes absolute sense. And I think that's a really healthy attitude to have, for sure.
Yeah, that's what's interesting about it. Like, it's like, I don't understand why like people are so obsessed with like spoiling things now. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
It's like, even if I'm a journalist or I'm a photographer or whatever, I'm going to take a picture on a set. And it's like, oh my God, it's like, dude, remember it used to be fun when you didn't know what was going to happen. Like when you watched a movie or something or a TV show, like, I guess it's amazing to debate forever, like what's going to happen. And maybe that's cool too. Like, but I still believe in that beauty of the mystery of something, you know, And sometimes it's the emotional reaction to it rather than the analytical analysis of it. That's more impactful.
Now we're going to take another short break for one more peek inside this week's Variety. When my special guest co-host Adam B. Vary and I return, we talk to Stan about his Falcon and the Winter Soldier injuries and what it's been like transforming into rocker Tommy Lee. For this week's Variety cover story, I talked to Selma Hayek. With the releases of Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard and Eternals on the horizon, Hayek could be on her way to becoming Hollywood's next big action star. In fact, she tells me that's what she's always wanted to do. More comedy and action, after making her first marks in Hollywood in Robert Rodriguez's Desperado. However, Hayek says Hollywood has loved to pigeonhole her as just a quote-unquote sexy Mexican. Even so, her 30-plus year acting career has spanned all genres. Like she told me about the script that she wrote 17 years ago that she will finally get to direct this year, I Never Give Up. Check out Selma Hayek on the cover of this week's Variety tomorrow. Here's more of Sebastian Stan. So now let's talk about what you're doing now. That photo.
Yeah, how do you want to interpret that?
That photo went around the world in about 2 seconds.
Right, yeah.
So I have so many questions. One, we have to talk about your transformation because it's incredible.
Oh, wow.
And who decided that Lily should bite your nipple and that should be the photo that should go out there?
Well, I think it was everybody. Because I remember I sent that photo to Craig Gillespie, our director, months ago. After I found out about the role and I said, and I found that picture and I just sent him that picture and I was like, this is what we're heading into. And it just sort of stuck. And then I know, other people, it's a famous picture. I mean, it's been around that picture for a while of them and it's such a wild picture. And I don't know, we were doing the screen test and somebody, I can't remember who, I think it was probably Craig, like, hey, why, let's just go out in the sun. And like, why don't we do that? And then we were like, oh yeah, that's fun. And then we just did it. And then suddenly that was the picture that was out there.
So that was from the screen test, the photo?
That was from a screen test. Yeah.
Wow.
The way that you and Lily James both transformed your appearance and your bodies, I think that's one of the things that people really couldn't get over seeing that photo, was how uncanny it was. And, you've had to transform your body several times over, both for The Winter Soldier and now for this. How is that process like for you to look in the mirror and not just see another character, but see this other person that you can reference, that we know what he looks like looking back at you?
Well, I mean, I just think, like I said, it just comes with the job, I don't know. I don't think about it too much. I mean, I just think this is what's required and that's what you do, I think, like I said before, the goal is always to, approach everything as honest as possible. And I think as actors, you've got to keep being scared and afraid of things. You got to keep doing things that are not, that are going to take you out of your comfort zone and sort of, push you further. And that's sort of what I'm trying to do, I guess. That's kind of what I gravitate to more and more, I feel like now, especially as I get older, is situations that that help me kind of you're always learning, you're always kind of a detective of life and of characters and people, and that's what it's about. And I think you sort of it becomes bigger than just like you and, you know, what you look like and stuff. And I don't know if that, there's no, I have no like funny response. Every time it just becomes like this esoteric thing that I'm trying to describe, but that's just what it is. Like, I don't know, like my favorite actors that I always see, you know, like are just always doing very kind of scary things. I, you know, they're always just challenging and pushing themselves. And every time I'm listening to interviews, they always say the same thing. It's like, I'm scared to death, you know, and this is, of course, you know, all of it is scary, but it's much better to be scared than to sort of just know what you're getting into day after day, you know?
It's magical to the audience to see that kind of transformation. It's just sort of stunning to see that happen. It's just wonderful to see.
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, honestly, it was freeing to, like, it was nice because I was walking around in these hoodies and like kind of like hats and trying like to, I was like paranoid of being, you know, couldn't even like, even these interviews, like just paranoid of being seen in this thing. And I was like, God, I hope that they're going to finally release something that we can be like, okay, now you see what this is looking, you know, what we look like, so we can keep going with our lives, you know. But it was nice to see the reception for sure.
So speaking of keeping going with your life, to circle back to the Falcon and the Winter Soldier real quick, Chris Evans was always really vocal about seeing his time in the MCU as having an endpoint. That, you know, he was going to play Steve for a while, and then when the time comes, he was going to hang up the shield and he was going to move on. Of course, now we're hearing reports that he might be coming back to the MCU. But regardless, I wanted to ask, how long do you see yourself playing Bucky?
Again, it's like, I no idea, man. It's not up to me. It's like, I don't make these decisions, you know? I mean, as long as they'll keep calling, I'm there, you know? But I don't know, you know? I get old too, like like everyone in the world, I age. So I don't know what that means. Maybe it doesn't mean anything. I have no idea. Like, I'm just like going for the ride, you know?
Well, we saw they're able to de-age people now with CGI. So you could be 80 and playing Bucky as a young man.
May I be so lucky, you know? Like, I mean, like that would be, it's really quite wild. It really is, especially like when you know, because you don't get to, I mean, I guess a lot of people, you know, I think on TV, right, there's shows that have gone on for so many seasons, you know, Friends. I mean, there's a lot of like where you get to go and you play a character for such a long period of time. And it does, like, you have like a weird, it's like gaining a family member. It's like, you know, you're like gaining another, like a brother or something, you know, in this case, like for me, you know, cause you get to see this character again and again, and then you're always like growing up as, and it's, they're sort of growing up with you in weird ways. So it's good.
The difference with Friends, though, is that they're not doing crazy stunt work. So getting older and doing that stunt work, how does your body feel from when you first did it to how you're feeling these days?
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, Tom Cruise, look, is about to jump off of a cliff, okay, on a motorcycle. So what the hell do any of us have to say for ourselves? I mean, like, you know, it's like... there's a bar being raised, but yeah, it definitely, it, you know, you're not recuperating the same at all, you know, and it's taxing, but again, it's like it's part of like staying in shape, I guess, for these things. And it's funny because you sort of, you have to just do a lot of work in order to like be free and spontaneous, you know, sort of look like you're something that looks very effortless and cool. Probably took about a month to work. It's never like you see it, you know.
What was your worst injury playing Bucky? What happened to you?
There were a few, but I'll tell you, in this last show, oh my God. I mean, I had a few on the first day. We shot episode 5 at the very beginning of the shoot, and that's the boat, you know, when I go and I help him on the boat. And the day one, first day on set, I'm like jumping off this dock onto the boat to help him. And I just landed and twisted my ankle so badly that I thought it was broken. Like I actually couldn't walk on it. And I was like, it's day one. How am I going to get through this? So like that was day one. That took about a week and a half to 2 weeks of sort of like masking this limp that I had, you know, on the ankle. That was the beginning of the show. And then before the pandemic, towards Christmas, I ended up breaking my toe, the little toe. And so there's that whole episode sequence. There's episode 3 has this whole sequence where I'm, you know, in Madripoor with Daniel Brühl and Mackie, and we're like pretending to be, you know, I'm like pretending to be the Winter Soldier, whatever. And I had to do that whole action sequence, and my toe, you can't do anything with a broken toe. It just has to be like there. And I did that whole thing with a broken toe, and I was dying. And of course the entire time, you know, keeping the best stoic looking face ever.
I love this. This superhero is trying to get his work done with the little toe.
The little toe. And by the way, how it happened was as classically human as it all comes. You know, you get up in the middle of the night to pee, I guess, because I'm getting older, and then I'm going to pee in the middle of the night. It's dark. You know, you're like kind of going, you find the thing. And then on my way back, of course, I'm just like closer to the wall, you know, looking for the bed, basically almost there, and just ram it right into the corner of the wall. And I'm like, oh my God. And of course, too tired to even realize that. I'm like, oh, that's going to be fine tomorrow. And the next day I woke up and I couldn't walk. So that's how that happened. Not a cool superhero way to do it, but you know.
There goes that whole fantasy, Sebastian.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm picturing like a little shield on your little toe.
Oh, no. What we had to do in between the takes, like when we had the setups, I would basically like run upstairs, and then like two people would help me out of this boot. And then I just take my foot and just put it in a bucket of ice, basically, and just ice it the entire time until they were setting up the next shot, and then quickly take it out, put the boot back on, go out there, kick someone through a wooden table, and then, you know, repeat the cycle. How movies get made.
Was there any point where you were turned to the stunt coordinator and says, could he kick him with the other foot? Could he not kick him with the foot that where I have the broken toe?
I might have used the other foot. I can't remember, but there were like, again, some of those needed to be. And the weird part is like it was on my left foot, which is my stronger foot. Like I'm more of a lefty when it comes to, I guess, legs and kicks. And so it was like my very functioning kick that was affected. But, you know, people have gone through a lot worse, you know, so it's like not something to cry about. You just cry later when you're alone.
Listen, I didn't expect you to tell us about crying over, not just, I'm obsessed with that. It wasn't any toe. It was the little one.
Well, it's the little toe, and you're always like, you know, then you end up in that thing of like, really, like, why? Like, it just becomes that sort of like, why is this happening, you know, kind of thing. But
how do you call them and say, by the way, I might have a little limp, they saw you sprain your ankle, but how do you call them? And like, by the way, you may want to go.
No, I don't think I told anybody. The only person I told was my good friend and stuntman, John Nania. Like that's who I told. I said to him, like in between, I was like, dude, just so you know, like I can barely walk. And like, he was like, just keep going. Don't worry about it. I'm like, I'm not telling anybody because they're going to freak out. They're going to take me out of the whole sequence. And then you're never going to think it's me. But they let me do it. They actually let me do quite a bit, which was really nice. And you know, it's always like, that's the thing where Mackie is gold, right? Like, cause you know, he'll, it's long hours, and it's true. There's a lot of preparation that goes into it, and then you just have to kind of laugh about it a little bit. You have to find the humor in it, and you have to go, and even those moments, it's like things don't always go as planned, and sometimes like there's like weird godsends with that,
Mm-hmm. For sure. I have to. My favorite action sequence in the on the show was when the Dora Milaje come in and kick Wyatt Russell's butt, and you and Mackie are just watching it happen, just being like, should we do anything? I don't know. And it's just very satisfying to watch unfold. And I'm sure for you, at least that part of it was nice because you didn't have to do any work. You could just watch the action sequence unfold.
Well, first of all, Wyatt Russell is such a good actor. I mean, he's also like he's maybe one of the best human beings I've ever met. I mean, I just honestly, like, he became a friend and I just champion him and whatever he does. And he took this character. And to me, it's just like one of the most interesting performances that I feel like I've seen. Like, what he did with that character, and he would have different degrees because he could be very funny and like, and he would sort of take him in all these different places. And like, so in that sequence, it really felt earned, that like John Walker was finally going to get it, and he was really going to be out of his element and way out of his field, and that we were going to get to enjoy that happening, but it was one of the things I loved about the show was that, we were able to incorporate all these different storylines and worlds and stuff and kind of really finally make, have use of all these interesting characters like we haven't had before.
There's a moment where Io does some sort of magic touch on your shoulder and Bucky's arm falls off.
Yeah.
How did you pull that off? I've always wondered, like, are you wearing like just a green sleeve on your left?
No, it was totally like, it worked like a magic trick, like we were, like in the old days, like whatever, without the CGI, like we had this crazy arm that was beautifully constructed and made, and then I sort of wrapped mine around and they were like, yeah, you just take it and, you just put it in there. And I go, you think that's going to look okay? Like, I actually had my arm, like, in the arm, right? Like, kind of hiding. And then I took the prop arm and just put it and then kind of twisted and just dropped it and then just kind of pulled mine back around. And then that's what I'm sure they, like, maybe finessed that a little bit. But it was really much more sort of a Texas switch than anything kind of massively CGI'd, but it was cool because in the comic books, actually, and again, it's a good question to see what ends up happening if anything ever comes of it. But in the comic books, actually, he can take his arm out and just, he tosses it out like a shield and it comes back and then like it attaches like immediately right back into place, So it's an interesting, it was like a discovery for the character because I was like, oh, okay, that's like a new thing he can do now. But of course, in the moment, he didn't really understand it. That's how easy it is for him to just.
What will happen next is you're going to be able to take off your little toe.
Oh, the little toe. Yeah, I think honestly, about 5 months later, I almost had the same thing happen to the other foot. And I was like, no, that's just not, because it lasts. It lasts for a while. We could talk about it forever. It lasts for like, I had that over Christmas, New Year's. Like, I think it was like a good 6 weeks where I was still feeling that little toe. And I'm like, damn, man, can't do anything.
Well, Sebastian, thank you for joining us. This is awesome.
No, thank you. Thanks for having me. It's fun to talk.
That was Sebastian Stan and this week's guest co-host, Adam Beevary. Thanks for listening to this week's Just for Variety. Remember, don't forget to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Mark Malkin. And for all the latest in Hollywood news, head over to Variety.com. And please, if you aren't vaccinated yet, do so ASAP. See you next time.